What I want to do this morning is talk about exactly what your theme verse is talking about, praying for missionaries. Did you know there? I studied through the New Testament, and Paul talks a lot about prayer. But most of the time that he talks about prayer, he's talking about how he prayed for the churches and how he prayed and what he prayed for the Christians, that basically talking about their spiritual growth. But there are only three texts in the New Testament where he talks about praying for him and for missionaries. And I want us to look at those today together. Okay? If you will open your Bible up, the first one is Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Okay? And we're going to get there first. So you can open your Bible back up to there. Missionaries go out to the field, and churches get their prayer letters and promise to pray for them. And we as missionaries, we always say, you know, prayer is what we need most. But then, it's funny, then we talk about money. As if that is the most important thing, but it is not. Prayer is. I think it is just possible that often we as Christians don't know how to pray for missionaries. We get their prayer letter and we see their prayer requests and we pray for those things, but praying for the missionary himself, because I know myself, when I write prayer letters, most of the time in my prayer letter is spent talking about the work that's being done. And so I'm asking people to pray for the people I'm working with. And that is part of praying for missionaries. But there is more to it than just that. Okay? And because often I think that we don't know how to pray for missionaries, because we haven't studied what the scripture says about it, we often just kind of do it only a little bit and then skip it. So I want us to look at it together, if we could. Turn to, in Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Okay, that's the first passage. Now, the second one is a parallel passage, and we're going to turn quickly to that right now. Ephesians 6. Verse 18 through 20. Actually, for him, it's only verses 19 and 20, but 18 sets the atmosphere of it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then he adds, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am also I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay? Two passages, very much parallel passages. And these are the two main passages that teach us how to pray for missionaries. Now, there's one more, and I'm gonna wait a few minutes to get to that one. And if I want to see if anybody can think of where it is. Okay? I want you to think about where the third one is as we study these two. Okay? Now, how do we pray for missionaries? We're going to look at two things. First of all, in both these passages, he teaches us how to pray. And then he teaches us what to pray for. And I think both are equally important, and so therefore we're going to look at both. How do you pray when you pray? Well, first of all, verse 2 in chapter 4 of Colossians, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. To continue in prayer, literally, it's be continually devoted to prayer. It's talking about devotion, that we are to be people to whom prayer is important, that it is an important part of our life, such that people, It would be a great thing if someone observing all of us Christians in this church from the outside would say, boy, those people are really devoted to prayer. Wouldn't that be a great thing? That's the goal, that we get to that point. That we not just be people who are devoted to going to church, although that is very important. Not just people who are devoted to the study of Scripture, although, of course, that is equally important. But that we also be people devoted to prayer, which I believe actually is the hardest of the three. It's easy to be devoted to going to church and to be in church every time the doors open, comparatively. Now, many people don't ever arrive at that point, sadly. And they only show up on Sunday morning. Or in my church growing up, and it was a liberal church, so we had a lot of these folks. We didn't believe the Bible when I was growing up, but we had a lot of people we called the C&E people. You know, they showed up Christmas and Easter, and that was it. Because they came for the special programs. Okay, and many churches have some of those. But let's make sure we're people. The point is that I want us to get to the point of being people who are known for being devoted to prayer. That it's such an important part of our lives that we feel like if there's one thing that I neglect, it's not going to be prayer. Now, I hope you caught the way I said that. Because often, you know, when we're busy, prayer is the one thing we neglect. But the opposite should be our attitude, that prayer is not going to be the one thing I neglect. We should be always saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day, so I need to pray. And I need to pray more and more, not less and less. I want to challenge you in that direction, to evaluate your own prayer life. How devoted would others say you are to prayer? How devoted would your husband or your wife say you are to prayer? Or if you're not married, your parents say you are to prayer. How devoted would they say? Because others do notice how much time we spend in prayer. And it's not just time. The idea of being devoted to prayer, I believe, is devoted to our relationship with Christ. That we place that as the priority. And therefore, we know we have to spend time with Him. You don't spend time with someone you don't want to spend time with. I mean, if you've ever run across someone that just grates you the wrong way, you try to avoid being around them. But Christ and those that we love, we want to spend time with. And the Bible says that once we become a Christian, there's an automatic love in our hearts for Christ that comes with becoming a Christian, right? That means the day I got saved, my attitude toward Christ changed. And it wasn't something I did. It's something God put inside me. And therefore, we should love prayer. Number two, it says not only with great devotion, but with great watchfulness. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. And if you look at the passage back in Ephesians, it explains that a bit more. So I want to look at there. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, you notice in that passage the word all, or always, comes up several times in verse 18 of Ephesians 6. Okay. How do we pray with great watchfulness? The idea of the word watchfulness is that we are watching over someone. We're guarding them. That's the idea of a guard set to watch during the night. They were usually three-hour time periods. And it's interesting that this word became one of the words for prayer. In fact, Paul, when he talks about his voluntary sufferings for the work of God, one of the things he said was that he was in watchings often, right? Implying that he was staying up late to pray for people. he was staying up into the night, and the watches usually started about 6 to 7 p.m., and there would be a 3 to 4 hour watch, usually 4, but sometimes they were 3 hour watches, and they'd go until 6 a.m. in the morning. Okay? So we're talking about, if he's saying in watchings often, he's implying that he's praying for a good bit of time. He's not just going in there and saying, hi, God, goodbye, hope you'll bless all those folks, and then he's gone to bed. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the idea that he is watching for the souls of someone else. You can guard my soul, and I hope you do. And you can guard the souls of Brother Campos and his wife and my wife and other missionaries by praying for us. Satan is actively tempting your missionaries. He is actively seeking to discourage your missionaries. He's actively opposing their work and hindering their work through other means other than just direct opposition. And we have to remember that the Bible says that we have this treasure, the treasure being the words of God in our hearts, that God has taught us, that we then share with others the gospel. We have this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels, right? Now, an earthen vessel implies the idea that it's easily broken. And I have to admit, I am easily broken. Okay, without the Lord's strength, we are easily broken. All human beings are. And so we must pray for God to strengthen, to protect, and keep our missionaries in his love and by his power. You watch over us by praying. And I don't know where I heard this story, but I heard a story about a missionary that had, the church 5 years before, they sent him off. He was from their church, and they sent him off with a great service and a lot of great, encouragements and talking and saying that the church would pray for him and watch over him and they would care for him. And he went off to the field. And 5 years later, in one of the church services of that church, that same missionary, and I don't know what kind of church it was, came back. And no one even noticed he was there. He hadn't announced he was coming. No one noticed he was there. He came and he sat down in the service, and the whole service went through, and not one word was made mention of the missionary or his work that had come from that church. And at the end of the service, he walked forward and he spoke to the pastor and told him who he was and asked if he could just say something. The pastor let him, and he said, now I know why I was so discouraged. And I know why I feel like quitting. 5 years ago, you made promises that you would pray for us in every service. And not one word was made mention. And you made promises that you would hold us up before God in prayer. And nothing was mentioned of our work. And I've come back basically ready to quit. Now, every missionary, I have to admit this, and I think every missionary would say this. I think every missionary goes through times when they get discouraged. Every missionary goes through times when the work is hard, there's a lot of hindrance, things happen, relationships sour, regular old temptations occur, and we need folks praying for our souls, not just for our work, but for us as individuals, for the strengthening of our souls. We need that. He says here, verse 18 of Ephesians 6, that when we do that, we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication. That word praying always implies a frequency, right? Always means often. Frequently, it must occur. A high frequency of prayer should be the norm for the Christian life. A high frequency of praying for your missionaries, praying for other Christians, should be the norm for the Christian life. Okay? And so every one of us must, that means we must schedule times. That kind of high frequency of prayer doesn't happen if you don't schedule it. Okay? If you just hope it's going to happen and you don't put it in your schedule, it's not going to happen. Do you ever stay up late to pray? Or wake up and can't go back to sleep? And I've done this. I wake up, I can't go back to sleep, and I start just praying. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. I wish that every Christian in the churches that support us would often, now I know you have several missionaries, so it's not going to be me every time, but I wish you would often pray for us. Then it says also, with all prayer and supplication. The word supplication is the word for begging. And that implies great urgency. Okay? Great frequency is important, but urgency about it is important too. That we need you to be urgent in your prayer, to recognize there is real need, that we need you praying for us. We need you holding our hands. We need you standing beside us and feeling like this is important. Okay? Every Christian missionary recognizes the urgency of people praying for him. I'm confident of that. Because we get out there on the field and we find ourselves pretty much at the beginning alone, right? Pretty much when you're starting a church, it's your family and maybe a few co-workers, and that's it, to fellowship. Over the years in our ministry, we've developed a fellowship of churches, but it didn't start out that way. And even if you have a fellowship of churches like that, you're still pretty much alone a lot of the time. And you need to be encouraged. And if you don't have the fellowship of other Christians as much as you do in the States, then you have to have the fellowship of the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, notice at the end it says that we also are to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay. And I hope you recognize that that means that prayer is to be led by the Spirit. That sometimes the Spirit will just lead you to pray in a certain way. And he'll burden you for a certain thing. And I hope that if the Spirit of God ever burdens you, especially for my family, that you'll go aside and pray. Okay. I hope you will do that, because I recognize that often those times do happen in the lives of missionaries, where they just especially need someone praying, and they especially need the Spirit of God to draw near. And if the Spirit ever burdens you, please go pray, because it's probably a really difficult time in the life of that missionary. It also says, watching thereunto with all perseverance. All perseverance. Implying what? That we have to have great continuance. We don't do it for a week. We don't do it for a month and then stop. We keep on, we keep on, we keep on, we keep on. You know, when churches send out missionaries, often they're really excited. And at the beginning, they pray a lot and they talk about that work a lot. But as time goes on, it kind of wears off. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. It must not be like that. We must continue praying for our co-workers, because we missionaries are co-workers with you. And I hope you recognize that. This is really a work that we do together. The missionaries cannot do the work that they're out there on the field doing without the folks back in the States. The churches that are supporting them by prayer and finances. We need that kind of help. Okay? So, that's how we pray for missionaries. And I hope that, You know, in fact, that's how we pray, period, for everyone. When we intercede for anyone, that's how we should pray. That I'm watching for their soul. But especially missionaries need it because they're out there facing opposition and facing the spirits of demons. And I talk about this somewhat in my slideshow when you see it later this week. I sense demon work. Every home, almost every home in Hong Kong, has a little idol shelf somewhere in the home. Some of them have a really big one, okay, where they have a picture of their ancestors, because the ancestors become people they worship after they die. But they also, outside the door of their home, have a little shelf that they call the Earth God shelf, Day Sun. Yeah, that's Earth God. Okay. Basically, that means that this is here as a protection to keep demons out of the door, coming into the door of their house. That's their idea. That they every day they put out a little food, burn a little incense stick, and that'll keep the demons from coming in. And then every year, you've all seen lion dances. You know, in the Chinese New Year, they have the lion dance. Or actually, it's a dragon, but we call it a lion dance in English. The reason they do that at Chinese New Year is, if you've ever seen how it's done, you know they have the cymbals and the tinkling bells and the drums, and it's a lot of noise, right? It's really loud. Well, in Hong Kong, they don't just do it down the street in a parade. In Hong Kong, they have that in the parade, but they also, for the next week, every day during Chinese New Year, those guys are going around the villages, and they'll come into the village, and if you want them to, you can pay them a little bit of money, and they'll come in your house and bang their drums and beat their cymbals and everything else as loud as they can to scare the demons away for another year. Okay. So, in any place where you have that kind of superstition, you're going to have a lot of demon activity. Because the Bible makes it very clear that behind every idol there is a demon, correct? And so we sense and feel that fight, that blindness that comes, that is over the eyes of them that believe not, because of demonic activity. And we need folks praying. So what do you pray for your missionaries? Let's go back to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. And look at the things we should pray for. Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. It says, first of all, here in verse 3, as Pastor talked about, with all praying for us, he stole my thunder, by the way, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Okay. And so we pray for doors for the word to be spoken. We pray for God to open doors. Pray that your missionaries will see and recognize where there are opportunities. In there's one other passage, other than these prayer passages, where Paul talks about a door. And that's in 1 Corinthians 16:9. And I'm just going to read that to you. He says, verse 8, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So there's a great door, he says, and it's an effectual door, meaning that there's great opportunity, but at the same time, there are adversaries. Just because there's a door doesn't mean there are no adversaries. Okay? And we need to pray that God will help your missionaries to seek and to find the doors. One of the doors of opportunity in Hong Kong is being a part-time teacher, teaching English. Our church is actually probably within the next month. It is moving within the next month to another area of Hong Kong, Dai Bo. And at that point, we're going to open a preschool for kids 5 and below, because at that age, they, before first grade, they don't have any government schools. It's all private. And there are many, many kindergartens. What we're going to do is more what we're calling a preschool, meaning that it's more helping them to prepare for learning, put it that way. Okay? But we're doing it in English, which is very attractive to many, many people, and it should draw many people. And it's a great opportunity to meet young families. Okay? That's one way that we get a door. You know, even here in the States, we as churches need to be looking for doors. I have a book that I recently read, and I would encourage anyone to get this book. It's called Gaining by Losing, by a man named J.D. Greer down in North Carolina, wrote it. And the premise of the book is basically that churches need to be constantly looking for new avenues of ministry. Their church, they started by going to a local public high school and saying, we just want to help your school. What can we do? How can we help your school, our church? We want to help the students. We want to help your school be a success. But prior to that time, the school was a bad school, not a good school. Most of the students were not doing well. Test grades were very bad. And so they went to the principal. And, of course, the principal, being a public school, was a little nervous about a church helping in a school. And he didn't really give them much work. And he basically asked them to do painting and clean up at the beginning. But as time went along, he started asking them to help. And to help tutoring children, help teachers in classes. And as time went along, they became very, very helpful and tied to that school. And all of a sudden, the grades started coming up on all the testing. And the kids started doing much better. And surprise, surprise, teachers and parents from that school started showing up in church and getting saved. I would like to challenge you, you know. We need to be thinking about that. And as missionaries, that's what we hope you'll pray for, that God would help us to see ways that we can have ministries and open doors up. And ask God to give us wisdom to find those doors and to go through them. Secondly, go back to Colossians 4 and Ephesians 6. So we're going to look at Ephesians 6 right now, okay? He says, verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. I like that phrase. I think he kind of explains that a bit. As he goes on, yes, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says, I'm asking you to pray for boldness. And that word boldness is a word that has the idea of great confidence. Pray for your missionary to have confidence to speak in the language that he's speaking in. We speak in Cantonese. In Hong Kong, one of the hardest languages in the world. Between, if you are from another country, you say English is one of the hardest. Okay, and Chinese, those two are right up there against each other as the two hardest languages. English, because of all the exceptions to the rules. For Chinese, it's not because of exceptions, because there aren't exceptions in Chinese. There are no rules. They don't have a grammar. They just have sentence patterns that you kind of learn. And the thing that makes it hard is the fact that, number one, the sentence patterns are basically the opposite of English. Everything that we put at the front of a sentence, they put at the back. And everything that we put normally at the back, they put at the front. Okay? So you have to learn to turn around sentences. And then you have to learn to say it with the right tone. Because if you say it with the wrong tone, you said the wrong word. Okay? Just a quick example, okay? God so loved the world. In Chinese, that's sun loi sai yan. Son is God. Moi is love. Sion is the people of the world. Sai is people. Okay? Sai is world. Yun is people. Now, however, if you say it wrong, you've got a problem. If you say Son Moi Sion, do you hear the difference? Just a little higher tone. Son Moi Sion instead of Son Moi Sion. Sion is Western people. Okay, so you could easily say God loves us white folks, us Westerners, and not Chinese. And that's actually what they think Christianity is all about, that it's a religion for us Westerners, not for them. Okay, and so you have to be real careful in how you say it. And not only that, it's not just the tones that make it hard. I'll be honest with you, because Chinese is a language where there is no alphabet, and you know this, you know it's pictographs, right? We call them characters. Because it's that way, that means basically every word you have to memorize. You have to have a good memory to learn Chinese. And every written word, you have to memorize how to write it. So you just sit there writing it over and over again until you learn how to write it. And every spoken word, you just have to memorize it. And so you have to learn, like, you know, 10,000 words before you can converse pretty well. Really, 6,000 written to be able to read a newspaper. And as you do that, what happens is you tend to learn the kind of words that you know you're going to use. So like I, as a missionary pastor, I learned biblical words and Christian words and such. Okay. You know what I found out? That's great. But as a pastor, you also have to do counseling. Okay. Teaching is easy for me. I get up and I can teach. And I do. I teach in English and Chinese. I do both in our church services because many of the people want to hear English too. And that draws them. So we have English and Chinese services in the same service. But counseling is the tough one. Because someone comes to you and, you know, they're upset. They're pouring out their heart. And I can remember one time this one lady, and it took me 15 minutes to figure out what she was even talking about. It really did. I had no idea what she was talking about because she was upset and she was talking about things that I had not learned the language for. There was each area, you know, like engineering has its own special vocabulary. Doctors have their own special vocabulary. Each area has its own special vocabulary, right? And if you don't know that vocabulary, you're going to have a tough time understanding what that person's talking about. And so you need to pray that your missionaries will have boldness to speak, because every time you run into a situation where you know, I maybe don't know the vocab for this, that's going to tend to make you more scared to speak. Okay? You need to think about that. It really is hard for me to counsel. I do it, but I tend now to try to have a Chinese person in the room when I do it to make it a little easier to make sure I understand what's going on. Okay? So pray for boldness in speaking. It implies that we missionaries are also tempted to not speak. Just like everyone else, missionaries sometimes get fearful. Okay? And this implies that we need to pray that they will be able to overcome their fear, especially of a different language and different culture. And even if you know the language well, and I know it well, it's still hard to communicate in another language and culture in a way that reaches the heart. I can say it. I can usually say almost anything that I need to say, but it may not be the way they say it that reaches a heart. Do you understand? So pray for your missionaries. Number three, it also says here that we should pray for clarity in our speaking. Okay, he says in verse 19, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And back in Colossians, he said, verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Pray that your missionaries will be clear. A lot of people have problems with being clear in their speaking. And I don't mean the way they speak. I mean the words they speak. I've heard a lot of people get up to speak, and when they get done talking 20 minutes later, I couldn't tell you what they were talking about. And it's not because they're using a different language. I don't think they knew what they were talking about, to be honest with you. They didn't have a specific theme that they were trying to communicate. Right? That happens. Pray for your missionaries that they will be clear, because it's only clarity that overcomes ignorance, that brings light and opens blinded eyes. Now, did anybody figure out what the other verse is? There's one more verse about missionaries and how to pray for them. Anybody know what it is? Okay, well, he just says, brethren, pray for us. I skipped that one because it just says, brethren, pray for us. You're right, though. It does. But there's one more. Hey, I'm going back in my Bible a little bit. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God, the Lord, may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. This is the last place where Paul asked people to pray for him, other than the one that our brother mentioned, brethren, pray for us, which I left that out because it doesn't describe what we want more. Okay, but what does this passage mean? This passage means, basically, that it pictures the word of the Lord like a fire. The phrase may have free course, literally, you could translate it as that the word of the Lord may run like a fire. Okay? May run like a fire through a forest that's dry, like the California fires, you know, every year. That's the picture here. And that we as missionaries, and this is the funny thing is that, you know, the missionary, when he writes a prayer letter, this is what he tends to talk about the most, because his heart is in the work, his heart is in seeing the people of his country saved and seeing the people get right with God and get discipled and grow in the Lord. And so his heart is here. And so he spends a lot of time in prayer letters talking about this, praying for the work. For the word of the Lord to run around in their area and people to get saved. And so, of course, this includes several things. I'm just going to name a few. It includes, number one, you can pray, of course, that people will get saved. This is praying for evangelism, right? This is also praying for discipleship, because true evangelism doesn't end with just somebody getting saved. It ends with somebody getting discipled and then becoming an evangelist themselves, right? And so we have to pray, and the word of the Lord will not run like a fire unless the people are discipled and they are taught themselves to become leaders. Okay? So we pray for people to get saved. We pray for their growth in Christian living. That's part of this verse. Okay? We pray for their discipleship. And of course, this would include praying for the softening of a sinner's heart. Right? We should pray for sinners to be softened. Pray for your missionary to be able to communicate in such a way that they will be softened, they will be enlightened. Okay? Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit on their work. That is an important one. Pray for them to so walk in the Spirit that the Spirit of God is continually at work through them. All of that is included in praying for the word of the Lord to have free course. But then it says, notice, and be glorified. What does that mean? Anybody have an idea what that means? Yes, that people of an area would come to the place where they recognize the importance of God's word. that they would be so changed that not only would they be saved, but in fact the entire area would be influenced. And the entire area would come to respect the Word of God. Isn't that what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer? Right? Hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, so on. We're basically praying that prayer. Right? That idea. So when you pray, pray that not only would just individuals get saved, that's important, but that the entire area would be affected. Pray for instance, in my village where we've been working, Dai Wai New Village, we've asked people to pray that Dai Wai New Village would be turned around. Okay? Pray for villages, for towns to be turned upside down by the Word of God, so that people will recognize that God is real and that God has changed things and the Word of God is something to be respected and listened to. And then verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Third prayer request, he says here. That is to recognize, we recognize that in our work, not everybody has faith, not everybody's going to be for us, right? That's the way it is here in the States, that's the way it is overseas. So we have to pray, because some people are unreasonable people, and there's nothing you can do about it. They are going to be adamantly opposed and fighting and adversarial with the message of the gospel. They are just going to be that way. What do you pray for about that situation for the missionary? Well, it says, pray that we may be delivered from such men. Because, of course, they hinder the work. So you can also pray in praying for your missionaries that hindrances will be taken out of the way. Now, often, I mean, Paul was a hindrance himself. And so he knows what he means. Partly what he means when he says pray this way, I think, is praying also that they might get saved. He himself was one of these unreasonable and wicked men, and he got saved. God changed him. Okay? And so we should pray. Yes, that those unreasonable and wicked men pray for our enemies that they might be saved. But if they are not, at least that their hindrance might be removed. God wants us to pray. I will say one other thing. Okay, just one other thing. As you pray, the average missionary, when he asks people to pray for him, he's generally asking for spiritual needs. I don't know about other missionaries, but as for myself, I don't even like to talk about money, so I try not to. I just try not to. Okay? Do pray, just say this, for missionary support to be consistent financially. Okay? Some churches are not consistent, and that can hinder the work. Just pray that God would remove all the things that hinder. That's the point here, though, I think, of this verse. And allow the missionary to just get out there and do the work. Right? That's what we're praying for. And when we do that, great things can happen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would teach us. Teach us to be prayer warriors, to fight for the kingdom through our prayer. And we fight for the kingdom through speaking, through doing things, but help us, Lord, to also fight for the kingdom and for your cause through our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.